Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today we are going to continue in our current series of studies, Living the Supernatural Life. And our theme verse for this series of studies is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, where we read, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, related to time, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Now this paradox that Paul uses here to arrest the attention of these Corinthians reminds them of the fact that we're in a warfare, that we're living a supernatural life, a life that is above nature, a life that is indeed in contact with God, a life that is indeed cognizant of God. God has given us the ability to understand Him. We are spiritual beings, two-thirds of us. We are body, soul, and spirit, and two-thirds of us are spiritual. The soul is spiritual. God gave it. All souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the Son. God gave it. It's spiritual. And the mind is spiritual, too. Now, the soul and the body, well, a whole person for that matter, has been affected by sin. But Christ died on that cross to put away that sin. And after we become saved and redeemed, then our souls and our spirits are in contact with God when we trust the precious blood of the Lord Jesus as paying the debt of our sin. Just rely upon it. Trust it. Believe God. Just put our full weight upon it. Then the Spirit of God enters. We're born again into God's family. That's the only way to get to heaven, is to be born into His family. I know how I was born into this world. I wasn't asked if I wanted to come at all, but I was born into this world, into a human family. Now, I've got to be born into God's family to get into heaven. And that occurs when I place my faith in the Lord Jesus, because the Holy Spirit of God puts the life of Christ within me, and I'm a child of God. Now let's go into the subject. We want to speak today about Satan's efforts to defeat us in our Christian life, our supernatural life. We're in a warfare, and that is seen very, very plainly, and Satan is, the warfare is spiritual. Let's read in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 17. And we'll see how our warfare, the Christian's warfare, is not carnal, not earthly, not literal. It is spiritual. Here it is. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now we know who we're fighting against. The wiles of the devil. Listen, please. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places." Satan is a spirit, and his lieutenants are spirits. "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, the word of God, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith." These are spiritual things, "wherewith we shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Now we wish to divide this study, in as we have been doing, into three headings. The character of our warfare is spiritual. Our enemies are identified in Ephesians chapter 2. We will be turning there in just a moment. And then we want to speak of their methods of attack. You know, the best thing that a warrior can do is to know the enemy. And we need to know the enemy. Now in Ephesians chapter 2, we read about our enemies, beginning at verse 1. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, enemy number one. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, that's Satan. He's a prince. He was an angel. He was one of God's highest angels. But one time in his existence, Satan had an unholy ambition. He says, I will set my throne above the stars of God. Who did he think he was? He had an unholy ambition, and he engaged the angels in heaven, and he got a following. The scriptures prove this out. It's in Isaiah chapter 14, Ezekiel chapter 28. We can't turn to it now. But the world is the scene of his activities, and it's one of our enemies too. And he uses the world and the flesh. Let's go on. And let's begin at verse 2, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He's making them disobedient, unto whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Here the enemies are identified altogether, all three of them, as it is, I don't believe, in any place else in the Bible. The enemies are mentioned in different parts of the Bible, but they are brought together here. Now the world is external. That's our external enemy. The flesh is an internal enemy. The devil is an infernal enemy. Now let's talk about their methods of attack. First of all, we'll take up the world. We in our threefold enemy, we generally speak of them as the world, the flesh, and the devil. All right, we'll take them up in that order. The world allures by its pleasures, its fame, its prestige, its riches, and we read this in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll read it in just a moment. Let's talk about this world. This world is the fraternity of men as they are aligned against God. And the world would trip up a Christian. It would make us become so occupied with what we have and what is happening in this life, this literal life that is soon going to be passed, that the eternal life, which we read in our opening theme verse, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are seen, for the things which we see are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And that's where we want to concentrate our efforts. We want to remember that we are supernatural beings and place our emphasis on that part of our lives. Of course, we have to look for work for a living. But oh, the world would just engross us, and Satan uses the world. It's his domain. He's the god of this world, and he uses it, and it's a separate entity. Now, that's how he yields us. Now, the flesh is absolutely, totally selfish. We're going to read in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, this is the world in its worst form, I think, probably in the last days. Well, it says the last days, but these characteristics have characterized it all along. Here we read, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves," that's the flesh. They're entirely selfish, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth speakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. Yes, they're a little religious, just conveniently so, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Now, this is the world and the flesh. They are our enemies. Well, what about Satan? Satan works through the mind. We read that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, and we are told to be on guard. Let me read the verse again. For the weapons of our warfare are carnal, are not carnal rather, but mighty through the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that has exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, Satan has access to our minds. I hope I'm not frightening you. He can make suggestions to us. He made a suggestion to David one day. This is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verses 1 and 2. We'll just read them. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, "Go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring me the number of them, that I may know it." Joab faithfully protested. God alone could call and make a roll and take a census in those days. David wondered, "I wonder how strong I am." Where did he get the thought? Satan gave it to him. All right, we have David. Now there's more than David to be contended with. He worked through just Judas Iscariot to betray Christ. We read in Luke chapter 22 in verses 3 and 4, "And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being one of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them." Now here he is. He thinks, "Oh, I've seen him escape them before. I'll get some money out of this." Where did he get that thought? Satan put it there. Satan entered into him. Satan has access to our thoughts. We should judge our thoughts, just as Paul warns in the 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians, verses 4 and 5. And then we go on to not only Judas Iscariot. We can talk about, let's see, who should we talk about now? Well, Peter tells us. Well, we'll talk about Peter. It's all right to talk about Peter. In the 16th chapter of Matthew, the Lord tells his disciples, "I'm going to leave you. I'm going to the cross." Peter took him and rebuked him. And the Lord said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Now, that's where he got the thought. He rebuked the Lord. The Lord was going to the cross. Why? To die for you and me. To die for our sins so we could get to heaven. And Peter didn't want him to go. And he knew that that was of Satan. Now, he will substitute religion for Christ. Satan will use both the world and the flesh to water down our zeal for the Lord. Let's be alert. Let's know our enemy. And that's the first rule of our warfare. Our Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, help us to be alert to the wiles of Satan. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.